So hello, welcome to the Student Accountant podcast series for ACCA. This is our very first episode, and I wanted to have a look into the topic of mindfulness. We hear a lot about mindfulness all over the place nowadays, in mindfulness in schools, mindfulness in the workplace. And I wanted to ask somebody who really knows, what's the big deal about mindfulness? So I'm very excited to have with me Tessa Watt. Tessa is an expert on mindfulness. She's written a number of books about mindfulness. She teaches mindfulness in organizations. So Tessa, can you tell me a little bit about your work with mindfulness?
Yeah, so I've been practicing mindfulness for about 25 years. I was working in the BBC in a very high pressure job, and I found that it was extremely helpful for keeping me calm and clear under that kind of pressure. And I've been teaching for about 10 years. As you mentioned, I've done a couple of books. So there's a book called A Practical Guide to Mindfulness, another one called Mindful London that I've written. And I teach in organizations, including the UK Houses of Parliament, where they really need some mindfulness at the moment, but also lots of other organizations, big companies, manufacturing, banking, pharmaceuticals, accountancy, consultancy. So it's really coming into every sector at the moment.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's really, really big news nowadays. We hear a lot about mindfulness and what it can do, but I'm curious to hear from you. You know, can you summarize what is mindfulness exactly, and how is it helpful to us?
So it's really a basic natural capacity of the mind. So we all have mindfulness, but it's something that we can strengthen. And it's our capacity to be fully present, our capacity to actually be here in this moment, aware of what's going on, aware of what we're doing, aware of our thoughts and our feelings and our actions. And that sounds really simple, but actually when we start to look at what's going on in our mind most of the time, a lot of the time we're replaying scenes from the past, we're worrying about the future, we're into all sorts of commentary about the past and the future that is really unhelpful and is just a kind of mental chatter. And so mindfulness is a training that allows us to let go of that unhelpful mental chatter and actually be right here with what's going on.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because part of my attention while you were talking, I noticed part of it is on you and what you're saying, but there's also all these other thoughts going on, like, am I asking the right questions? Am I going to remember what to say? Is this working out? Is Tessa okay? Is the technical equipment going to fail like it just did? So it's that's kind of thing you're talking about.
Exactly. And all of that is really sabotaging our capacity to really be our best selves and to flourish in whatever we're doing.
So, yeah, I understand that mindfulness originally has come from a kind of religious path or to do with meditation. Can you tell us about the science behind it? Because I think nowadays it's been proven to be scientifically helpful.
Yeah, so some of the practices that we use do come from centuries of tradition in different spiritual traditions. But now we've taken those particular techniques and just brought them into a secular environment, so you don't have to have any belief system to practice mindfulness. It's very, very practical. And there is a huge amount of research. So we have at least 1,200 research papers coming out every single year looking at the benefits of mindfulness, which are many. So for example, we know that mindfulness reduces stress. There's a hormone in the body called cortisol that goes up when we're under stress. And mindfulness has been shown again and again to reduce the cortisol, to reduce the stress levels. It's very helpful for resilience to depression. It's actually as effective as antidepressants for people who have a history of depression. It's extremely helpful for anxiety and also for our focus and our clarity. So there's a lot of work looking at how people's cognitive capacities are better after practicing mindfulness, our capacity for short-term memory, for working memory, and for decision-making and so on. And it's also really helpful for our general physical health. There's been lots of work showing that the immune system is boosted, for example, with mindfulness. So it sounds like a lot of claims for something that's actually quite simple. But if you think about it, we're not that surprised that physical exercise has many, many different benefits. You know, probably everyone listening to this could list a whole load of benefits of physical exercise, you know, whether it's reducing blood pressure, you know, resilience to heart attacks and strokes, et cetera, et cetera. And so what this really is about is that we're realizing that we also need to look after our mind. And this is a very simple but powerful mental training that gives us many, many benefits in the sphere of mental health and mental capacity.
It's quite amazing, isn't it? When you think about it, you know, that this is an ancient practice that's been done for so many sort of hundreds or thousands of years, when maybe we think nowadays, oh, this is a really stressful time. Like, how did those people come up with a practice that had so many benefits? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think that, you know, people have been very interested in certain cultures, in how the mind works and in really watching how the mind works. And I think that although these practices have been around for many centuries, I think one reason why mindfulness is becoming so popular at the moment, you might have heard, you know, quite a bit in the press around mindfulness, is because we are needing it even more perhaps than we did back then. You know, so in the past, it might have been only a few people who were interested in doing it, who were particularly interested in developing their minds in this way. Now, I think everyone is realizing that we live in a world which is so fast-paced, and we have so many distractions and so much fragmentation. You know, we're so busy looking at trying to do 10 different things at once. We've got our smartphones that we're being distracted by all the time. We have all kinds of things in the realm of technology that are making our minds feel even more sort of cluttered and distracted than maybe it was before. And so I think people are finding that mindfulness is what can help to counteract that and balance that.
That makes a lot of sense. So thinking about, you know, some of our listeners who are students and studying for long periods of time, like having to balance that with work and other commitments and family and so on, and also the sort of pressure of having to sit exams, can you think about specific ways in which mindfulness could be helpful in those scenarios?
Yes, definitely. So I would say there's two main areas where mindfulness is particularly helpful for people who are studying. And one is in the area of focus and concentration. So we all know that sometimes it can be very hard to focus, that we get easily distracted. We might get distracted by external things, like, you know, a message comes up on our phone. We see that, and then 10 minutes later, we find we've just ended up scrolling through social media or doing something that we didn't really intend to.
Yep. Sounds familiar.
Exactly. And then we might also get distracted just by our own minds, that, you know, we're unable to really focus on what we're studying because our mind keeps going off to other things. So whether it's an internal distraction or an external distraction, mindfulness really helps us to train our mind just to keep coming back, just to keep noticing when our mind has gone somewhere that isn't where we actually would like it to be. And we do that by, you know, sitting quietly, and we have a particular focus, which is often something very simple like the breath. And then we are practicing noticing how our mind goes off and gently bringing it back again and again to the focus. And by doing something like that for, let's say, 10 minutes a day, it's been shown that that then permeates into the rest of our life, and we become more able to keep coming back. So it's a bit like going to the gym, you know, and practicing developing a muscle. This is like developing a mindfulness muscle that allows us to focus better. So there's that whole area of having a more focused and a more clear mind is one area. And then the second area where I think it's particularly helpful for students is the area of stress, that we know that obviously exams are stressful. It's stressful when they're coming up and we're panicking that we don't know everything. And it's also stressful when we're sitting the exam. And when we go into stress mode, that's actually when our mind shuts down. We've probably all experienced that thing where we go into a kind of a panic mode and we can't really think. And that's because our whole system has gone into what we call the fight or flight mechanism, which is where, you know, our blood pressure goes up, our heartbeat goes up, and we kind of freeze, and we're not really able to think clearly. And mindfulness gives us techniques for being able to turn on what we call the parasympathetic nervous system, which is basically what cools us down, what allows us to kind of relax and recharge and come out of that panic mode into a mode where we can actually engage and be able to answer the question, for example.
Great. So it sounds like there's kind of two things. One is an ongoing practice that kind of builds up a resilience or the mindfulness muscle, as you put it. And then there's also practices or things that you can do when you're faced with a challenging or stressful situation that
Yes, absolutely. So what we usually recommend is that you know, it's a bit like you could say that you would go to the gym or you would go running or you would go swimming in order to be reasonably fit. And then that means that when the bus comes along and you have to run for the bus, you're able to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the setting aside a little bit of time once a day to just practice the mindfulness practices, which you can do using audio, is usually helpful. There's various apps and things that you can use to have a guided mindfulness practice. And that's really the basis for the training. And then you can just, at any moment when you find yourself under stress, you begin to find that you're able to just start to let go of the more panicky thoughts, maybe to just pay attention to your breath for a few breaths and to take a little breathing space and to clear your mind and to kind of calm down.
Is there any evidence that it can be helpful to improving memory function or mm-hmm. anything like that?
Yeah, it is. There is evidence. There are some studies that have come out looking especially at working memory. You know, that's the memory that you would be using when you're writing exams. So we're not talking about the memory of something that happened 20 years ago. We're talking about our kind of capacity to retain, you know, relatively short to medium term facts and so on. And there are studies showing that that is improved with mindfulness. Yeah.
So I can just do it with an app, but presumably I could take a course, or there's lots of other ways that I could.
There's lots of ways to engage with it. So probably the simplest way to try it out would be with an app. There's a few different apps. The most popular one probably is one called Headspace. There's another called Calm, but there are many different apps, and you might just find that you have a preference for one voice or another, because there's usually a voice that is guiding you. So you can just go with your instinct about what you enjoy, and also with, you know, most of them are free to try. And then if you like it, you might have to pay a little bit of a subscription for it to carry mm-hmm. on with that. There are also some good books. There's a book called Finding Peace in a Frantic World, which is a helpful book that has some audio as well attached to that. And then if you want to get into it more deeply and you find it's helpful, then taking a face-to-face course is a really good idea, because that's where you can really work with a group of people. You support each other to actually do the practices, because it's just like anything else that, you know, we all have good intentions, but it sort of goes to the wayside sometimes. So, you know, if you're working with a group of people, then you encourage each other to do it. And you also have a teacher who really understands how the mind works and all the different challenges that can come up when we do these practices, because they don't always feel easy at first, you know.
Are there any sort of side effects or the situations in which you shouldn't do this practice, or people who shouldn't engage with it?
Well, mindfulness can be very helpful for people with depression, and has been shown to help people who have a history of depression not to go back into depression. However, if you are in a situation where you're feeling severely depressed right at this moment, it may not be the best time to try it, because it's just a bit too challenging to just actually sit there in relative silence and be with your own mind and your own experiences. You'd be better to do a bit of therapy if you can manage that, or some other possibilities for working with the depression. So if you have any kind of severe mental health issues, it's usually good to have a chat with a doctor or a therapist, just to ask about whether they think it's going to be helpful. But other than that, you know, it's pretty safe kind of practice. There's nothing too radical that we're doing. We're just sitting, paying attention to our body and our breath and that kind of thing, which is very natural, doesn't require any special equipment, doesn't have any hangover attached to it. So it's something that, by and large, you know, the vast majority of people will get on with well.
Time could come up as an apparent barrier. You know, a lot of us feel like we constantly don't have time. I know that I try to meditate, practice in the mornings, but often I just feel like I can't, I haven't got time. You know, what can I do if I'm already struggling to fit in my work and all my commitments?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people feel that way. But the fact is, in general, none of us can ever get to the end of our to-do list anyway. You know, most of us end the day thinking that we never got through everything that we were going to do. So that's a completely unrealistic expectation usually anyway. And I would say that people who make a commitment to finding time for these practices really find that it actually gives them more time than it takes. So if you take, you know, 10 or 15 minutes in the morning to do mindfulness practice, you find then that you're more focused, you're more clear, you get things done better, and you don't waste a load of time somehow just being distracted. And, you know, we can actually spend 10-15 minutes just looking at our social media.
Yes,
exactly. And yet somehow, you know, we might find it challenging to find time for mindfulness. But I think if we really look at our schedule, that we can find that time, and it really gives us, it rewards us back.
There could be even something in that, you know, about resistance, because when I think about how much time I spend just like, you know, absorbing stuff off the internet that I didn't intend to look at, you know, is that classic kind of resistance to actually being with our own thoughts?
Absolutely. I mean, we have resistance to this just in the same way that we might have resistance to doing exercise, mm-hmm. that we know it's good for us, but we find excuses not to. So the key for that is just to really notice that's the case, that we're putting it off, and to try and build a habit. So it's really helpful if you can find a particular time of day, maybe, or a particular place, and really build it into your schedule, you know, just like you would always build in brushing your teeth, and you would always build in certain things that you do every day. So building mindfulness into the day and just making a habit of it. And once it becomes part of the routine, that does become easier.
It's true, actually. I was thinking, you know, why are positive habits so difficult to build up? But then I think, you know, as children, maybe we resist having to clean our teeth. But when you start seeing the benefits of it, you know, it feels nice. You have less tooth decay. You realize over time, actually, no, it's a good thing to do. And then you just do it.
Yes.
Without questioning.
That's what I think most people find, is once you try it out for a while, and you just first of all have to take a leap of faith to try it out, and then once you start doing it, you start noticing the benefits, and then that becomes the motivation or the inspiration for carrying on. And sometimes we lose it, you know, maybe our routine changes, we go on holiday and we stop doing it, and then we can just start again at any time. So we also don't need to think, oh, now I've blown it completely, I stopped doing my mindfulness. It's just like, let's start again fresh the next day.
So I'm curious about some of the jobs that you've done in terms of working in organisations, and also particularly working in Parliament. Like, how have you found that, you know, working with MPs or even just, you know, people in organisations? What's been some of the interesting challenges or moments for you?
Yeah, well, working in Parliament is very rewarding because we have a lot of challenges in the parliamentary situation. And I think that the MPs who come just find it really helpful. They find that they can also work better with other people when they've done mindfulness, you know, that they can let go of some of the confrontational kind of attitude that can come into politics, and that they are able to just like be kind of more relaxed and kinder to themselves and others. So generally it's gone down really well. It would be great if we could get more politicians doing it than the ones that are, but the ones that do it find it really helpful. I do quite a bit of work in big organizations where people just feel that they never stop all day long. And what's sometimes helpful is when a team of people do some mindfulness, then they start to encourage each other to actually create a different working environment, and to actually respect that you can't just work flat out all day. The human body and the human mind wasn't meant to do that. You do need to take breaks. You do need to just stop and have a cup of tea or breathe or go for a walk. And that the prefrontal cortex, which is the executive function of the brain, it actually consumes a huge amount of energy. And if we don't take time out to give it a rest, then we just wear it down. And so people start to recognize that and to support each other in the organization to find more healthy ways of working.
So actually it seems that, you know, by starting with this practice now as a student and sort of investing in that healthy habit, it's going to have great repercussions for the rest of the working life.
I would really say that's true. You know, it's easier, just like anything else, like learning a language. I think the younger we start with this kind of practice, the more we can just build it into our lives. And I do think that often when younger people go into organizations, they feel that they have a lot to prove, and therefore they just work and work and work and work and get into unbelievably unhealthy working habits from the beginning. And I think that the more that you can do to really support yourself, to actually look after yourself as you enter the working world, that's very important.
Potentially then it could help with confidence as well, if you're starting in a new job, a new environment, you feel like you have all this stuff to prove.
Definitely. There is this aspect of it, I think, that when we do these practices, we're able to sort of just stop running around and just kind of sit and have a few minutes where we're being ourselves and we're okay with whatever that is in this moment. And that is actually a really big deal, as you say, in terms of confidence, that we can kind of trust ourselves and trust our own experience, you know, not having to look externally. It really gives us a sense of a kind of core of who we genuinely are when we do these kind of practices.
And I suppose that would also be helpful in an exam situation, that you've got a short amount of time to show what you know and to put it forward.
Yeah, so very important to have confidence when you go into that situation, absolutely, yeah.
Well, Tessa, thank you so much. It was so interesting and so lovely to talk to you. Yes, you also run an organization, don't you, Being Mindful, which offers the 8-week, is it MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction courses?
Yes, we offer 8-week courses for the public. It's a really thorough and deep and wonderful course, the 8-week course, the mindfulness course. And we also offer mindfulness in all different situations, every kind of organization we're happy to go into and do mindfulness sessions.
Yeah, so you can find more about that on beingmindful.co.uk, and you can Google Tessa Watt and you'll find out all about her books if you want to read some of them. Thank you so much, Tessa.
Thank you, Emily.